Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're visiting with Mr. Carlton Scott Andrew, the CEO of Retail Service Systems, who has a new book that just came out called The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. With two popular franchise models within home furnishings and germ remediation, Carlton is a rugged entrepreneur with a proven track record and method for success and should be very informative. And Mr. Andrew, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
It's great to be here, Eric.
Really good to have you. Looking forward to hearing from you today, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So I understand you and your wife, Daphne, have a successful career as serial entrepreneurs. Your new book, The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know, shares what you've learned over the years about starting and or running businesses. Here's a question for you. Have all your startups been successful? Let's start there.
Absolutely not. We've had more successes than failures, thank goodness. But one of our big business adventures that lasted several years was a good-sized rodeo production company, East Coast Rodeo Productions. And we probably should have bought a ranch instead of having a rodeo production company. We'd have saved money and had an asset to show for it instead of having to decide to finally, although having a lot of fun, close one down.
Well, I'm sure you've learned in every regard, whether it's been a failure or a success. Now, speaking of which, rugged entrepreneurs are set apart from other entrepreneurs because of how they shake things up. What skills define a rugged entrepreneur, in your opinion?
Ultimately, rugged entrepreneurs, based on their own self and personality and their own dive into exploring the world of wisdom around them for their business and their personality and leadership types and their industry, develop hundreds of skills, many of which are more custom for themselves and their business than what I put in the book. It's a challenge I make in the book, but there are four key fundamental skills that every rugged entrepreneur has to have, and I call them the foundational skills. But the first one is a fervent work ethic, and it sounds like common sense, but I really go into detail about how you build that and about it being more about loving and being proud of the productivity of work. In today's world, we often hear people teaching young people, you know, find what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's truthfully got a lot of people lost, thinking there's just going to be something they're going to love. And the reality is you have to learn to love the byproducts and the pride you can take in doing rigorous mental and or physical work. And from there, you start to find things you find more enjoyment in than others. But no matter what business you own, you're always going to have to work fervently at things you don't even really enjoy from time to time. So you got to develop a fervent work ethic. The second one is really a humble and healthy pride. Those two things sound like they may not always go together, but you have to be humble to be teachable and coachable. It's a great world of wisdom around us, and we have more access to it now because of the internet than we've ever had before. And whether it's an advisory board, a mastermind team, or any other of the hundreds of accessible forms of gathering wisdom for yourself and your industry and business and psychology and negotiations, you have to be humble or you just won't be open to learning and growing. And in today's world, things move faster than ever before because of the digital age. So you have to be teachable at an even faster pace to not only build a successful business, but to keep it successful. And the pride is not pride in the sense that you're better than anybody else. It's just being proud of what you do and what your team and organizations do in a way where the people know you're proud of them, the organization knows you're proud of it. So it's a good, healthy pride in the things that anybody can do. You just choose to be building something that does them. The next one is really just mental toughness. And mental toughness, I've got an acrostic in the book that teaches people how to develop and grow their mental toughness with some habits that anybody can embrace. One of the best of which is developing a strong reading acumen and an ethic about reading. But you've got to be mental tough to deal with the chaos and to pivot and to move an organization, whether it's just you or whether you've got 200 employees, you've got to be very mentally tough. The world will come against you. I use the term free enterprise now, Eric, because the word capitalism, which really means the same thing, it has a negative connotation in so much of our population. So you have to learn to use words like free enterprise just so you don't deal with some of the pushback that comes from what should be a great word, capitalism. And the last one is faith. I love Steve Jobs' discussion of faith. I actually talk about faith from the four different major religions around the world, which encompasses billions of people, and how they are very similar definitions, but a little different. But then I also discuss how everybody exercises faith on a daily basis. Your eyeball has 2 million working parts, more than any other organ in the body. And if any one of those parts fails to work properly, it can affect your eye, your vision significantly, all the way up to blindness. Even though that exists, day in and day out, we don't wonder about it. If you knew tonight when you went to sleep that you would stop breathing, or you thought you would and die, you wouldn't be able to go to sleep. So each night when you lay down with 100% faith that you will breathe, or you would not be able to go to sleep. So we all individually exercise a faith switch day in and day out in our lives, but you can actually train yourself how to better control that personally in things that you intentionally need to think about to make a business and an organization succeed. And Steve Jobs always used to say, faith to him was, you can't look from where you are today forward and see how the dots will connect. But when you get there, you will look backwards and they will connect. And knowing that, you move forward. It's a definition of faith that I really like. But that's the fourth foundational element. And those are the four most important ones to really being a successful rugged entrepreneur.
Now, Carlton, speaking of the rugged entrepreneur, could anyone become a rugged entrepreneur, or is it something that you are born with? What's your thought on that?
It's definitely not something you're born with. And absolutely, I've studied entrepreneurialism and created three groups: a professional entrepreneur, which is more of a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, somebody in real estate or consulting services, where they've got to be educated and licensed and continue that education. They all have some ruggedness to them, but that one's a specific category of professionals. You have a corporate entrepreneur, which is much more of a person who's worked a career successfully and done well financially, and they want the security of a structure. They want a plug and play, and that's more of a pure franchise type entrepreneur customer who's going to buy not all franchises are structured this way, but many are, like a Chick-fil-A. You absolutely own that job, and you can be proud of it. You're an owner, you're an entrepreneur, but you're not left to have to figure nearly as much out as a rugged entrepreneur will have to figure out. Rugged entrepreneurs are kind of all the others, but anybody, male, female, rugged entrepreneurialism is blind to race, sex, age, religion, whether you're born poor, whether you're born wealthy. It's irrelevant. About 75 to 80% of millionaires and above around the world, according to most studies, are self-made, and they come from every kind of background you can imagine.
Certainly do appreciate your input on that. Quite interesting as well. Now, your wife, Daphne, is your partner in your business ventures as well. What is it like to work and live with your business partner? I'm sure folks would want to hear from that perspective and take away something if they're also business partners with their husband or wife.
It's awesome. And I don't think it's for everybody. We've actually, in our franchise scaling company, one of three holding companies that Daphne and I own, we have a metric in the franchise world that we call the twofer. And when we're interviewing married couples, if they have the ability to work together in a similar way to what Daphne and I have learned to do over the years, we say 1 + 1 in that equation equals 11, not 2. 11 is 5 times greater than 2. And a marital couple that enjoys and has learned how to work well together in a business capacity is a very powerful force. And it's just, it's been amazing for me. Daphne's the hardest working person I know.
And I think it's an important factor that you're taking notice of that. And I'm sure those guys out there can learn something just from that comment you made at the end today. We're joined by Mr. Carlton Scott Andrew, the CEO of Retail Service Systems and the author of the new book called The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, taking this further, can you tell us a little bit about the Rugged Buck Labs program at East Tennessee State University? I'd like to hear some details on that.
Oh, it's a dream come true. The week of Thanksgiving, one of the rugged billionaires I've gotten to know in the last year or so, Scott Nyswanger, who has a St. Jude's Hospital up here in Johnson City in his name, and he was the founder of Land Air Freight. Originally a private pilot for Magnavox after he graduated from Purdue, but he flew myself and Stephen Marshall, the chair of the Media Communication School, Alan Gorman, the chair of the business school at ETSU, and David Golden, the president of ETSU's Research Corporation, to Purdue, where Brian Edelman, the president of Purdue's Research Foundation, formerly the CFO for Eli Lilly, spent a day helping us construct an ETSU version of Purdue's Foundry and Discovery Park to put into action here at ETSU. And our fundamental premise going into that meeting, we had already created Rugged Buck Labs, which is an experiential accelerator designed to marry enterprise with students and professors and projects that are either for class credit, an internship, capstone project, but they're based on experiential reality that's applicable to a student going right into the workforce. And one part of that that I get to be in charge of is the entrepreneurial incubator / accelerator that's a part of their entrepreneurship minors program. And it's just it's a dream come true as a lifelong entrepreneur to be able to now help establish a college program. And one of our big goals is to create farm-to-table entrepreneurship projects for students as they get their degree at ETSU.
Well, I think that is awesome, what you've got going on there, and nice to be in touch with the community as well. I'm sure you can appreciate that and vice versa. Now, you make it a priority to talk with other people who have been highly successful in their careers. And like you've just mentioned earlier, you've had conversations with the likes of Colonel Oliver North and multi-billionaire Shahid Khan, the owner of the Flexing Gate and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Who have you met, and what are some of the gems you've learned from them?
You know, I've mentioned Scott Nyswanger already. Steve Forbes is somebody I've spent time with and talked to, who's got a really good book out about capitalism saving America. And I've been fortunate to spend 10 days on an aircraft carrier doing leadership programs with pilots and hundreds of business owners. Shahid Khan, I think, is one of the most impressive, given he created $1 billion net worth in two different industries. Flexing Gate, his first automobile company, after he came out of the University of Indiana as an engineer, and then he bought the Jaguars in 2012 for $700 million, and today it's worth about $2 billion. So he's created a $1 billion plus net worth in two different ventures. And that's an amazing thing. But I've spent the last 25 years studying hundreds now of rugged entrepreneurs and coaches and athletes, and had the fortune to meet many of them. And it all started when I was a commercial banker. After I got out of NC State, I worked about 4 years in mergers and acquisitions for Nations Bank, today Bank of America. And they taught me how to interview business owners and get to know them and their history. And I was doing it because I knew I wanted to own my own company, but it was a thrill to do that. And I just made it a habit to study and meet business owners ever since.
Well, I'm sure you've learned a lot, but I think those folks, those multi-billionaires as well, learned something talking to you. No doubt about that. Now, I understand family is also important to you, and your Dropbox mattress franchises are great startups for people because of the low franchise costs and flexible work hours. Did you do that on purpose? And if so, why?
Yeah, our real goal with Retail Service Systems, Eric, was to disrupt the franchising industry as a whole. It's a great industry. It still grows a lot of business models very well, but a lot of businesses struggle with franchising, and we identified what we called a community gap problem, because most franchises, the relationship between franchisor and franchisee was very caustic and a little over-controlling in many cases, and didn't measure high on a metric scale that we created. So we chose three industries, home furnishings, cleaning, and media/advertising, as industries inside the franchise space that had real community gap issues. And we first targeted the home furnishings industry because it had slow, low-growth industry, and the franchise models in that industry had horrible community metrics. And so we applied what we believed. We actually believed that if you could reverse that dynamic, that in today's digital media and social world especially, and how fast that is, that if we could reverse that dynamic, that your team and organization of franchisees should actually be a company's greatest asset if their community relationship was strong. So with that focus in mind and a mission to just two words, empower entrepreneurs, we started with them being the focus, knowing that industries needed to be able to change and adapt and bring about new services, new products, new advertising methodologies, and new systems, that they couldn't just always be in every industry, same old, same old, and that the group and the organization of business owners you had was the best resource for that change and disruption. And at the end of the year 2013, we had 17 box drop locations. Today we have 500, and it's been one of the fastest growing companies in America on the Inc. 5000 list for 4 straight years. And I believe that it is because our theory was right. And we have a chief community officer, and we intentionally build that community as the organization's best resource.
I certainly appreciate the highlights and information on that. And again, impressive, no doubt there. Now, lastly, and obviously with COVID-19, how has COVID-19 affected your businesses, assuming it may have a little? And what advice do you have to other entrepreneurs out there who are struggling with keeping their business afloat during this pandemic that just seems like it won't go away?
Oh, man. In some industries, I realize, Eric, it's worse than others. And our prayers go out to the entrepreneurs who have a lot less control over that particular business. Some of them have literally been forced to open up a totally different business. And it's not that they necessarily failed by their own doing, but it might not have been an adaptable situation. Now, we, on the other hand, because of the resource of community I just spoke of in box drop, which in industry, we target the brick and mortar side of the $110 billion retail home furnishing market with box drop. But we were able to pivot so fast last March. Our segment of that industry was down about 20% last year. We didn't open any new locations in March, April, or May because we were concerned about supply chain issues and pivoting the organization properly. But we were able to pivot, and we were up 52% last year, box drop was, and still opened a lot of locations, about 6 a month, outside of those 3 months where we didn't open any. So that skill set allowed us to thrive, and it's definitely a skill set of rugged entrepreneurs. BioPure makes us look smarter than we were. We actually helped start the company years ago, about 6 years ago. RSS acquired it in its entirety in October of 18, and we set up some corporate locations in 19 to package it for franchising in the cleaning industry space. And we couldn't have foreseen COVID. When COVID hit, that business blew up, and we went from 2 corporate-owned locations to franchising and opened up another 50 last year. Could have opened more, but the machine that we use in electrostatics were really having supply chain issues. So we had to get past that as we opened new locations. But COVID, we thought it was going to take 3 years to educate the world on microbial germ remediation and the more effective ways of doing it with electrostatics at an affordable cost commercially and residentially. And COVID came along and eliminated our need to educate anybody about it, and it blew the business up in a timing kind of way. I don't believe in luck, but I do believe in timing, and that business was just positioned in the right time, if you will.
That right there is a great place to conclude and a lesson learned. When you have an idea and a business plan, don't delay and take action ASAP. And this is living proof, unfortunately, but living proof that you can't delay when you have a good business plan and an idea. And I really appreciate all you do and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Carlton, where can listeners get more information on yourself and also on your book? And where can they pick up the book, The Rugged Entrepreneur?
Best place to go is www.ruggedentrepreneur.com. It's got all our social media links. There's a segment where you can register for free to get Rugged Bits on a monthly basis and download a free chapter of the book. So you can read a chapter before you decide to buy it, and that's the best place to go.
That sounds like a plan and a great resource right there. Again, folks, for more information, visit ruggedentrepreneur.com. Carlton, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
Thanks for having me.
And you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Carlton Scott Andrew, the CEO of Retail Service Systems and the author of the new book called The Rugged Entrepreneur, What Every Disruptive Business Leader Should Know. And for all the details, visit ruggedentrepreneur.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.